Hi, I'm Glenda Whitley with Tackett Ranch in Floresville, Texas. You're listening to the latest news in Texas agriculture on Texas Ag Today.
This is Texas Ag Today, the number one source for the latest news in Texas agriculture. The largest and most experienced farm news team in the Lone Star State covers it all. From the piney woods of East Texas to the rocky ranges of the Trans-Pecos, and from the Panhandle down to the Rio Grande Valley. Here's today's top stories.
The battle over beef imports from Paraguay has taken an interesting turn on Capitol Hill. I'm James Hunt, and coming up on Texas Ag Today, you'll hear an update from Texas Panhandle Congressman Ronnie Jackson.
A U.S. senator from Texas is fighting for fair and equitable disaster payments through USDA. I'm Jessica Domel, and I'll have more coming up on Texas Ag Today.
Tight U.S. beef supplies may result in expanded opportunities for underutilized cuts for Texas and U.S. beef exporters. I'm Tom Nicoletti, and I'll have more in my report on Texas Ag Today.
Now, here's the host of Texas Ag Today, Kerry Martin.
Hello, Texas. Why don't you jump on in with me and buckle up? We're going to take a ride around the Lone Star State as we cover the most important industry in this greatest state in the nation, Texas agriculture. Be sure to hold on tight because it all starts right now. Lactating dairy cattle scheduled to move from state to state will now have to be tested for avian influenza before they can be shipped. That's due to a new order issued Wednesday by the USDA. If testing shows a cow carries the virus, that cow cannot cross state lines for 30 days. The cow can be moved after that period if a follow-up test is negative. The initial focus of the order is on lactating cows, but the mandate could be expanded if needed. The order goes into effect Monday. The state's first anthrax case of the year has been detected.
A crossbred sheep in Schleicher County has tested positive for anthrax. It is the first case of the bacterial disease in Texas this year. According to the Texas Animal Health Commission, the area where the sheep was being held is northwest of El Dorado and is now under quarantine as a precaution. Anthrax is a bacterial disease caused by a naturally occurring organism with worldwide distribution, including a triangular area of Texas bound by the towns of Uvalde, Ozona, and Eagle Pass. An increase in anthrax cases is common after periods of wet, cooler weather followed by hot and dry conditions. TAHC says in those conditions, animals ingest the odorless, colorless, and tasteless anthrax bacteria while eating contaminated grasses or hay. They may also inhale the spores. Those who live in the area with higher anthrax rates are encouraged to vaccinate susceptible animals. Additional details are available on the TAHC website. For the Texas Farm Bureau Radio Network, I'm Jessica Domel.
Recovery continues for Texas ranchers burned out by the wildfires. Donations have slowed down, but the biggest need right now is fencing supplies, according to Texas A&M AgriLife's Curtis Preston. He says there are several reasons for that.
One, shortage of steel. Two, shortage of actual wire and T-post. Three, it is very expensive nowadays.
Preston says it can cost as much as $20,000 a mile to build fence in rough country.
Yeah, it's enormous, and we're not going to be able to meet that need just from a cost effective and supply, but every site will still take T-post and barbed wire. There's some programs through the Farm Service Agency and RCS where they can get some cost share money. It's just one of them things that you just have to do what you have to do.
That's Curtis Preston. He's the North Region Area Chief for Texas A&M AgriLife Extension Disaster Recovery. The battle over beef imports from Paraguay has taken an interesting turn. James Hunt visits with a Texas congressman on the issue.
Late last year, USDA announced it was lifting a long-standing ban on beef imports from Paraguay, a decision that triggered alarm throughout the U.S. cattle and beef industry because of Paraguay's history with foot and mouth disease. Texas Farm Bureau and many other agriculture organizations have been working with members of Congress to force a reversal of USDA's decision. And last month, a bipartisan majority in the U.S. Senate did vote in favor of reimposing the ban. But Texas Panhandle Congressman Ronnie Jackson tells me the effort to get his companion bill through the U.S. House has run into an obstacle.
The leadership in the House doesn't want to push this bill through because of an issue with Taiwan and Paraguay. Apparently, Paraguay is one of the only countries, I think the only country in South America, that recognizes Taiwan as an independent state. And so they're very worried, Taiwan is. They're putting pressure on leadership not to do this. They're worried that if we do this, that we're going to drive Paraguay away from the relationship with Taiwan and into a relationship with China. And so it's something that really has nothing to do with foot and mouth disease and nothing to do with the potential spread of it here in the United States. It's more of a political issue between Taiwan and China and who recognizes Taiwan as a state and who doesn't. So we really need to get past that. We shouldn't really concern ourselves with that if you ask me, because the stakes are too high if we get foot and mouth disease spreading around the country. So I'm pushing really hard right now to get leadership in the House to back down on that and to let this bill come to the floor independently, or let it be part of the Farm Bill so that we can get it passed.
And we look forward to further updates from Congressman Jackson on this very important issue. I'm James Hunt on the Texas Farm Bureau Radio Network.
A U.S. senator from Texas is fighting for fair disaster payments through USDA. Jessica Domel has the story.
U.S. lawmakers from Texas are working to help farmers and ranchers weather some of the huge challenges they've faced this year, from wildfires to drought, inflation and labor shortages to increased input costs. U.S. Senator John Cornyn of Texas recently discussed the importance of fair and equitable disaster assistance programs with members of the Texas Farm Bureau visiting Washington, D.C.
One other topic I thought I should mention is the deeply flawed methodology in the emergency relief program that in 2022, when the USDA rolled out this guidance last year, it came as a surprise to just about everyone, I'm told. In essence, a group of bureaucrats, of folks up here in D.C. decided to adjust relief payments based on a farmer's gender or color of their skin, which says all you need to know about what their priorities are. What they should be looking at is the impact of natural disasters on the operations of those farmers and ranchers. This is, as you know, vital disaster assistance. This is not designed to be a social equity program or some sort of woke approach to farm policy or disaster relief. It was not Congress's intent, and I've been pushing the USDA to abandon this unfair methodology, but they seem to be stuck. We need to return to a system where the facts matter, where need-based programs are dispensed based on need, not based on some identity politics or some progressive world vision of how to make the world a perfect place. So I know it's never been easy to be in your line of work, and I've made it my personal commitment to do everything I can and my staff can to help you through some of these huge challenges that we've mentioned. Between the panhandle wildfires, drought, inflation, labor shortages, and countless other challenges, there's no doubt you've been dealt a tough hand. But I know you're a tough and resilient bunch, and I look forward to meeting with you each year.
Cornyn was referencing the 2022 Emergency Relief Program. Recently, three Texas farmers, represented by the Southeastern Legal Foundation and Mountain States Legal Foundation, filed a lawsuit against the U.S. Department of Agriculture for unconstitutionally and unlawfully funneling disaster and pandemic relief funds to certain farmers based on race and sex through the program. The lawsuit says farmers who failed to meet the socially disadvantaged criteria used in the program received far less assistance for their losses than if they were of a different race or sex. The lawsuit says the discrimination violates basic equal protection principles enshrined in the Constitution. For the Texas Farm Bureau Radio Network, I'm Jessica Domel.
Tight U.S. beef supplies are challenging red meat exporters. Tom Nicoletti tells how.
While lower U.S. beef production and tight beef supplies represent a challenge for Texas and U.S. exporters, there are more opportunities that are emerging in international markets for underutilized beef cuts and beef variety meats. U.S. Meat Export Federation President and CEO Dan Hallstrom addresses the positive side of this situation.
The performance on beef was, I think, a pretty good sign, because we all know production's down, will remain down for the foreseeable future. But this is really an opportunity for the industry and for USMEF in particular to work on maximizing the value of that carcass and really focusing in on some of the subprimals that might be underperforming. And we've had quite a bit of success on the different cuts within the round primal, knuckles, insides, et cetera, outside round flats, a lot of success there. In places like Taiwan, Korea, even in Mexico and Central America, we've seen some success on some of these cuts. Shoulder clods, another area of the carcass. And of course, you can't forget variety meats. Variety meats continue to be a very important part of the growth. We've got markets like Mexico showing growth. You have the Middle East and Korea and South America as well, and even the Caribbean. So our overall goal is to diversify into as many markets as possible. And in the case of variety meats, it's really a testament to the fact that it is working.
Dan Hallstrom with USMEF also says the silver lining of this situation is that global demand for these items is likely to endure even after the U.S. production rebounds in the future. I'm Tom Nicoletti with the Texas Farm Bureau Radio Network.
Up next, we'll head out to Lubbock to check on corn planting progress. Plus, deworming calves prior to weaning is a good idea. Veterinarian Dr. Bob Judd has more on that coming up.
These stories, plus a look at the markets, are straight ahead on Texas Ag Today.
If you're a Texas farmer or rancher with an unreimbursed loss from the recent wildfires, you can apply for assistance from the Texas Panhandle Wildfire Relief Fund. Unreimbursed losses include, but are not limited to, livestock, feed, fences, and equipment. Additional expenses such as temporary pastures will also be considered. Completed applications must be submitted by May 31st to your local county Farm Bureau office or directly to the Texas Panhandle Wildfire Relief Fund. For more details, go to texasfarmbureau.org.
We're bringing you the latest news in Texas agriculture on Texas Ag Today.
Let's head out to the South Plains of Texas to check in with Eddie Griffiths in the Lubbock area. Eddie, I hear the corn planters are now rolling in your area.
Yeah, I've seen a few planters out in the field. They are starting to get a little bit of corn in the ground. Not real sure how many acres of corn we'll actually see. We got a little bit of moisture, so good time to get some seed into the ground. And with the moisture germination, it ought to get out of there pretty quick. But also with that rainfall and situation where we've seen field work done, guys have had to get back out there and try to tie that down to keep it from blowing, just simply from rainfall and keep in good condition for planting of other crops like cotton and sorghum. And still lots going on here in this area, lots of irrigation going on even with the rainfall, still trying to get that moisture profile up to par for good seed placement.
Well, Eddie, it seems like the wind is always blowing in your part of Texas. Have you been dealing with some high winds here in April?
Yeah, we are. You know, we'll have a couple of good days with little to no wind, but when the wind comes, it's usually, you know, pretty high. And if you do not have a cover crop out there, you have to get out there and try to do something to keep it from blowing and keep that field in good condition.
And how about the cattle situation, Eddie?
Cattle situation here in the area, things are really greening up, especially as far as grasses and pasture for that livestock. Some locations have had ample forage out there, and then others were maybe rainfall a year ago was not as good. They were really needing for the green to start showing up just so they could slow the supplemental feeding down.
Thanks, Eddie. That is Eddie Griffiths from Lubbock. Deworming calves prior to weaning is a good idea. Dr. Bob Judd says it improves weight gain and adds value.
Drovers.com indicates that beef calves in a study at Southwest Research and Extension Center in Hope, Arkansas, showed more advancement when dewormed before being weaned. Dr. Daniel Rivera indicated the weight gain translated to adding $13 of value per head of cattle by 21 days after weaning. He indicated that a parasite burden has a negative impact on performance, and this can lead to reduced weight gain and other effects that are more difficult to measure, like immune response and vaccine efficacy. A preconditioning program is a period, typically a minimum of 45 days, used to build the health status of a weaned calf prior to sale. Typically, cattle ranchers do not handle their calves prior to sale, but studies have suggested pre-weaning management can have extended effects. Dr. Rivera indicates he just wanted to see the effect of deworming, and there was an early effect that carried on for another 2 months. The producer has to consider the cost of labor and workers to determine if this will be profitable in each operation. The calves dewormed prior to weaning averaged 4.5 pounds heavier than the control group that did not receive a dewormer. The study divided calves into two groups, with one group being dewormed 60 days prior to weaning and the other group not dewormed. All calves were weighed at weaning, all calves were dewormed and vaccinated, including those already dewormed. The pre-dewormed calves had a 5.5 pound weight advantage over those only dewormed at weaning. A follow-up study will take place in the summer to analyze blood samples for antibody levels, both in calves dewormed prior to weaning and those that are not dewormed. I'm Dr. Bob Judd, and this is the Texas Farm Bureau Radio Network.
We'll check the markets coming up next on Texas Ag Today.
If you're a Texas farmer or rancher with an unreimbursed loss from the recent wildfires, you can apply for assistance from the Texas Panhandle Wildfire Relief Fund. Unreimbursed losses include, but are not limited to, livestock, feed, fences, and equipment. Additional expenses such as temporary pastures will also be considered. Completed applications must be submitted by May 31st to your local county Farm Bureau office or directly to the Texas Panhandle Wildfire Relief Fund. For more details, go to texasfarmbureau.org.
Sometimes you love them, sometimes you cuss them. Here's a look at the markets on Texas Ag Today.
Let's take a look back at how the markets wrapped up on Thursday. It was a nice turnaround in cattle futures. After the losses Wednesday, we finished up strongly higher. We closed out with April live cattle up $1.85, $183.95. June up $2.55 at $177.80. August live cattle up $2.67 at $176.05. Feeder cattle finished higher. April feeders up $1.77, $244.87. May up $2.15 at $246.25. August up $2 at $258.30. Cash-fed cattle sales here in the Southern Plains at 182 so far this week. That's fully steady with last week's trade. Cattle left on the show list, priced firm at 184 and better. No sales to report so far out of the Northern Plains. Boxed beef prices mixed. Choice up $1.68, $297.42. Select down 42 cents at $2.90 even. Now let's check the auction barns. Let's walk those pens with Larry Marble.
Gary Butler, Nixon Livestock, sells every Monday. Gary, how did this last Monday sale turn out for y'all?
2 and 3 weight steers, $308 to $4. Heifers, $265 to $350. 3 and 4 weight steers, $291 to $410. Heifers, $265 to $335. 4 and 5 weight steers, $267 to $350. Heifers, $244 to $298. 5 and 6 weight steers, $250 to $297. Heifers, $227 to $278. On the 6 and 7 weight cattle, steers, $229 to $283. Heifers, $219 to $263. 7 and 8 weight steers and bull yearlings, $205 to $243. Heifers, $2 to $233. Old calf market was a whole lot stronger than it was the last 2 weeks. Slaughter cows, I took off a little, but we still got $1.02 to $1.28. Slaughter bulls, $1.25 to $1.54. We didn't have any stalker cows. We had one palpated cow and no pairs. We split most of the pairs, Larry.
Good. Now, this next Monday, what do you see?
Looks like we'll have another 500 to 800, somewhere around that neighborhood. A lot of calves were sold, 3 and 4 weight calves to sale that we would be selling now and 2 or 3 months later.
Good deal. Glad for you. Tell everybody how to contact you for the next sale there in Nixon on a Monday.
You can catch us here at cell phone 830-582-1561 or 62. Catch my mobile 830-857-4330 there.
Gary, we appreciate you, and we'll talk to you before the next sale.
Thank you.
And neighbor, thank you for listening to Walking the Pens here on the Texas Farm Bureau Radio Network. That was Gary Butler, Nixon Livestock. I am Larry Marble, and you're listening to us every Monday through Friday right here on Walking the Pens. Good day.
Thanks, Larry. Back over to the futures market now, where lean hogs took a sharp drop. May hogs down 207, 95.27. June down 245 at 105 even. Class 3 milk was mixed. Nearby April milk down 4 cents, 15.53 a hundredweight, while May milk was up 49 at 18.27 a hundred. Cotton closed mixed, trading sideways throughout most of the session. Just not a whole lot of news in the cotton market right now to move prices either way. July cotton up 7, 81.08. October up 9, 78.56, with December cotton down 5, 77.64 cents. Corn closed higher, but we continue in the sideways pattern we've seen for the last 6 weeks or so. Corn planters are rolling in the Midwest. However, they may be parked for the next several days as a round of moderate to heavy rain is moving through most of the corn belt over the weekend. May corn up 3.25, 441 a bushel. July up 3.5 at 452, with September corn up 3.5, 461 and 3/4. Wheat has seen some nice gains this week. Ever since the wheat ratings came out on Monday, showing a drop in wheat conditions nationwide, we've seen the market react with higher prices throughout the week. May Kansas City wheat up 7.75, 632, with July up 10.5, 640.5. May Chicago wheat up 7.75, 602.25, with July up 7.5 at 620.5. In the energy markets, May natural gas down 4 cents at $1.60. June West Texas crude up 97, 83.78 a barrel. The financial markets lower, with the Dow down 392 points, 38,068. The NASDAQ down 120 at 15,592. The S&P down 28 at 5,083. That wraps up our look at the markets, and that wraps up this episode of Texas Ag Today. I'm Kerry Martin. Hope to see you back here next time as we cover the most important industry in this greatest state in the U.S. of A. Texas Agriculture.
Thanks for joining us for Texas Ag Today. Be sure to follow the Texas Ag Today podcast, found wherever you listen to podcasts. For more Texas farm and ranch news, check out our website at texasfarmbureau.org or tfbradio.com. Texas Ag Today is a production of the Texas Farm Bureau Radio Network.